I want to speak to you this morning about a paradigm shift. Now, you know, a paradigm is not two dimes. A paradigm is when something radically occurs in your perception. It's a paradigm shift occurs when the way you've been viewing a situation is radically transformed. And I want to quote from John chapter 15, two verses where Jesus is talking to his disciples. They've just gotten up from the Passover dinner, and Judas, that devil, has just left. And now Jesus has a few moments to talk to his most intimate disciples. And this is what he says to them, and in turn to us. Verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give to you." Now, Jesus is talking about fruit bearing, and he's talking about the relationship between the vine and the branches that produce great fruit, and that's an allegory, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But I want you to see something. Jesus is just leaving the Passover dinner, and he says to the disciples, "Up until now, I have had one relationship with you, that of a master and a servant." And yet a servant doesn't truly know what's going on in the heart of the head of the household. But he said, "From now on, I'm going to call you friends." And you know, there's a paradigm shift there. You've been treated like a servant. You've had limited understanding. Servants are gophers. They just sort of go for this and go for that. And sometimes in our relationship with God, we feel like gophers, you know. We're there and we're doing stuff for the kingdom. And you can get... You get tired in the work, but you never get tired of the work. But I'll tell you what, there's a paradigm shift mentioned in this text, and I want to speak it prophetically over you. God is about to change our situation. You may not have every gift and ability, but you can be a friend of God. You may not be the prettiest woman in your family line, but you can be a friend of God. You may not be the most handsome and gifted man in your family line, but there's some place, the most hallowed place open to you, and that is friendship with God. Listen to the verse, Psalm 25:14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fears him." Friends don't, you just don't go show your secrets with everybody. Hopefully you don't share your secrets with everybody. If you do, there's something wrong with you. Okay? You don't give pearl-handled daggers to your enemies because they'll stick them in your back. You learn over time that you only share your trusted secrets with friends. And Jesus, in this monumental text, and he's going to give an image, we're going to talk about four things that he reveals. He says to the disciples, you know what? From now on, we're going to be intimate in a way that we've never been intimate before. I believe even as this year closes, the Lord's drawing us closer to an intimate relationship with him, into more of a friendship. Do you know when you have kids, they're little, and when they're little, you're just always managing them. You know, what are you doing? Where are you? What's going on? Get off the chandelier. Put the knife down. Put the knife down. You spend all your time. They're just sort of in the way, and you manage them. But you know when they grow up and they mature, there's a beautiful flowering of a relationship that changes with a child where you are now in a position of friendship where you can explain a little bit more to them and they understand a little bit more than they did when they were little. When they get a little bit older, maybe you can talk a little bit more mature about that divorce and what really happened and some more of the details because, see, you're talking as friends now. Did you know that? I believe the Lord is drawing all of us into an intimate place where whatever you don't have, you can be called a friend of God. And a friend reveals and shares the innermost secrets of their heart with the other. And sometimes things happen in life and we don't understand. We don't understand. Just two chapters earlier in John chapter 13, verse 6, Jesus is going to wash the feet of Peter. And he says to Peter, "What I do now, you will not understand, but later it's going to make sense." Did you know there's a lot of things in your life that doesn't make sense? I'm talking to some people, and it doesn't make sense. I don't care what anybody says. God has done something in your life, and it doesn't make sense. Guess what? Jesus acknowledges that. Sometimes he does things that don't make sense now, but later will make sense. And that's where we have to trust him. Now, Jesus gives this example of the vine and the branches, and it's a symbol that's understandable in Israel. Notice the goal that he has. He doesn't want beautiful leaves and glorious, beautiful coverings, and he wants fruit. So he simply says, the Father's goal is that you have an intimate, close connection to him, and through that close connection, fruit will come. Well, there's the whole thing. But let's take it a little bit deeper, because there are four things that Jesus chooses to reveal to the hearts of the disciples with regard to this fruit-bearing relationship. Did you know that if you reflect godly character where you are fruitful in the kingdom right now? You don't have to arrive someday at some magical destination and say, okay, now I've done something for God. If you will patiently endure where you are and you will bear the character of Jesus faithfully where you are at your post of duty, you are a success. All of heaven considers you a success. Now, we always talk around Bethel that there's two kinds of fame. There's intensive fame and extensive fame. Now, extensive fame is if you're Pastor Joel up in front of millions of people, or you're a big singer and you're this and that. Most of us will never experience the reality of extensive fame, but we are all intensively famous. That means you're intensively famous in your family. Your mama, you're famous to your children. Daddy, you're famous to your children. You are famous. Whether you like it or not, everybody's watching you in your fame circle. Just screw up and you'll find out real quick. There's nobody watching me. No one cares about me at all. Just screw up. You'll have 100 voices rise up and demonstrate they've been watching all the time. You are intensively famous. And you may not be extensively famous, but you can be intimately so intensively connected to Jesus that he will share his heart with you. You know, that's all I want in life. I want to be able to have an ear that hears and a heart that perceives. Do you remember when God came to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3? He said, Solomon, ask anything you want, heaven above, the earth beneath, anything, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, grant me a hearing heart that I may lead so great a people. And God said to him, because you didn't ask for wealth, and you didn't ask for riches, and you didn't ask for long life, and you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, but you asked for that, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you everything else. I'm talking to some people today, and you've been asking for the right thing. Lord, give me a hearing ear, a hearing heart, that I may serve your people. And God says, because you ask that, I'm going to throw everything else in. Isn't he a merciful God? You say, Lord, I just like David, I just want to be a bird up on the roof in the house of God and just be huddled up there and feel your presence. Well, because you ask something so gracious, he'll give you so much more, exceeding abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or think. But look at Jesus. It's a paradigm shift. He says, I'm no longer talking to you as servants. Come close. I want to open my heart, and I want to tell you some things from the heart of the Father that you need to understand. And he uses the vine-branch relationship. And the first name, we're going to talk about relationship, the first R. Four R's today. Relationship is the first R. Jesus teaches the disciple that the most important thing in our lives as Christians are our relationships. Did you know when the devil wants to attack your fruit bearing, he first attacks your relationships? Someone say amen. Anybody got some relationships under attack here today? You say, yeah, I think so. Don't wave. You're in a safe room, but it's all of us. There's some point in our relational dealings, whether it's in our intimate family relations or the devil, whenever he wants to affect fruit bearing and cut it off, he attacks your relationships. Now, when he attacks the relationships of your life, see, we need to learn to hold all our relationships dear. We need to learn to tend to them and guard them with all that we have. Because our relationships, first our relationship with God, then our relationship with others, those are the fundamental streams through which God moves in our lives, and God actually uses people through whom he moves. And so the devil wants to attack the relationships in your life. If he can cut the branches off the vine and affect that relationship, then he can affect the fruit-bearing process, and that's what Jesus said. It is the Father's desire that you bear much fruit. Fruit is always in tandem with the quality of our relationships. You say amen? I believe that God knows the relational stress points in your life, and I believe he's going to meet you by his Holy Spirit today, and he's going to empower you to be able to overcome the difficulties in relationship in your life right now. Because you see, whatever the bump in the road is in your relationships, the enemy knows. You know, it's just like an army whose supply lines are overextended. If he can attack the supply lines and cut off the supply lines, then you can't feed an army. And then they start getting hungry, and they start getting nasty. The devil attacks supply lines. And the most important supply lines in your life are relationships. And this may not be husband and wife, but it may be. May not be fathers and mothers and children, but it may be. Let's refine it a little bit. It could have to do with your relationship in the church world and in the ministry world that you've been hanging out in. The devil would love to fray and assault those relationships in your life and permanently bring a breach so that it would interrupt your capacity to bear fruit. Now, God's great and powerful, and he can always go around the enemy, but isn't it wonderful when he just gives you a season of rest from assault against your relationships, just for a little while, a little peace on the east and the west and the north and the south? And have you ever noticed you bear more fruit more naturally when you're not assaulted 24 hours a day and there's cluster bombs going on, carpet bombing happening in all your relationships? I believe God's going to put an end to that. I believe in the next little while he's going to pull the plug on that. And if you've got enemies, he's going to pull the plug on them. He can deal with your enemies. Trust him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, not you. You know, the mills of God's justice grind slow but exceeding fine. Isn't that wonderful? You know what that means? That means it may be slow, it may take longer than you expect, but it'll grind your enemies right down to powder. Then the wind just goes, and then you just go, was that my enemy? Who what? Snort a little bit of your enemy after God's done that. Oh my God, what was that? God knows. He's better at it. Leave them alone. Live a godly life. Relationship. See, Jesus is calling them close. He says, now let me share some stuff with you from the Father's heart. You guys guard your relationships. Now, he also goes on to say, you know, the branches that don't bear fruit in me are taken out, thrown away. Well, guess what? Judas just left the room. That bad branch went walking out. So Jesus is using that allegory, and he's saying, you know what, after relationship, because when we deal with the branch and vine, we always deal with relationship, I just want to encourage you. God is overlooking your relationships. He's in charge, and whether they're good ones or bad ones, submit them to him this week, and you're going to start seeing him work in those relationships. Those attacks are going to start ebbing off because God wants you to bear fruit. But the second R after relationship, listen, is recession. Jesus teaches the disciples. He says, let me tell you how it's going to work. First, guard your relationships to one another. Don't let the devil get in and strain your relationship, because the kingdom fruit is going to be birthed through your unity. They shall know that you are Christians, that you love one another. Not that you have a $50,000 suit on, not that you're wearing a gold Rolex watch with diamonds, but they shall know that you love one another. You belong to me because of that bond, that relational bond of unity between you. Now, we can agree to disagree on certain things, but, you know, in the essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity, we should have unity in our relationship through Christ. Come on. And then the enemy, see, then we're guarding, we're forming the turtle, we're linking arm in arm. We are going to make it impossible for the enemy to get into our ranks and torpedo our relationships, because that's when the fruit stops. So we're going to see some fruit. So God will protect your relationships and guard them. The second word is recession. Jesus talks about, he says, now, guys, let me tell you another secret here from the Father's heart. The Father has a pruning knife, and he does something with vines and branches. Namely, he prunes them. Now, the first thing he does is he cuts off things that have no life. So here's an interesting point. Jesus says, not only are your relationships to be guarded, but I want you to be ready for the fact that God wants you to bear much fruit, and in order for you to bear much fruit, he's going to have to cut back some things in your life. You ever seen someone prune? I saw someone prune roses with an axe. I've told this before, but it was a dear friend of mine, one of the most Christ-like people I ever knew, until I saw him in my backyard with an axe. And I was grateful first to see there wasn't a human being on the other end of what he was doing, but my rose bushes were. And I guess he wasn't in the gentle pruning season yet. He was doing the hackety hack. He was doing the Gene Hackman first. Now, did you know that a husbandman will cut back? It's a natural thing. When you're bearing fruit, he will cut back so that you can bear more fruit. But look, we're living in a season now where God is either cutting people off or he's cutting people back. I want to encourage you. He's cutting you back so that you can bear more fruit. Now, it seems counterintuitive when you see beautiful roses to cut them back because it looks like you're doing something destructive, but actually you're cutting back in order that that beautiful, beautiful thing might produce more fruit. And that's the goal of the Father, is that you produce much fruit. And yet when you see an axe or you see that knife, that lovely, it's like a nice little paring knife, I don't like knives at all. I don't like to get up and see a knife missing from my knife block because I saw the Chucky movie years ago and I still think there might be a ventriloquial dummy in my house. You know what I'm saying? You're just minding your own business and you go, I thought there was a knife in that block. And then you start, you know, what was that? Then I couldn't go to bed one night. I'm laying there. I'm going, oh, Chucky's not in my house with a knife. I don't like knives. Especially those pruning knives, especially when they're coming to cut back things in my life. Because you know what? I always think I'm just right where I need to be. And then God says, you are bearing fruit, but I'm going to have to do a cutback, recession. Did you know what a recession is? It's when things cut back a bit. It's when things are cut back for a season. You know, we're going through that economically. But did you know one of the things Jesus shared from his heart to his friends? He said, I'm going to give you some mature knowledge. I'm going to explain to you how the Father works. Guard your relationships. Number one, that's the enemy's assault. Secondly, accept recession. There will be cutbacks spiritually and emotionally if you're going to bear more fruit. But being cut back is different than being cut off. Jesus said, hey, there are some branches that are going to be burnt. Just let them go. God will take care of them. So he's not cutting you off. You may feel like you're being cut off. Because when that paring knife comes and you say, hey, hey, you know, it always feels like the devil said, oh, you're being cut off. Oh, that's it. That's it. Remember what you did back in 1972? That's it. You're being cut off. Oh, that's it. He's done with you. Okay. No, he's cutting off somebody. He's cutting you back. And I want you to realize, no matter where the cut is, there is a sovereign superintending hand on that knife at all times. I know something cuts you deeply. And I know there are times in life we can point to cuts and we can point to horrible experiences of cut back. But loved one, no matter who the instrumentality was in cutting you, there's a sovereign superintending hand that was on that knife the whole time, and it cut exactly where it needed to cut in order to cut back enough to cause production of fruit. Trust him. Trust him. Did you know Jesus talks about abiding in the vine? 10 times he says abide, 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 abide. Abide. What does that mean? When you don't know what's going on in your relationships, just stand, having done all, stand. Just trust him. Just trust him. When you're being cut back and you don't know why he would do this or why he would take her or why he would take him or why he would cut back that relationship or that job or take that loved one home to heaven and we don't understand, just abide, 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 having done all, stand. That's my Bible verse. If I get a tattoo, that's what it's going to be. Having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. There are times when you don't know what to do, but you just do what you know to do, and then you just stand. Abide, abide, abide. You don't need to get up and run. You don't need to run around in circles. Just abide. Just abide. Relationships will be under attack, but God's going to cover you. He's got your back. Recession will occur. He will cut back. But the goal in cutting back is preparing you to bear more fruit. That's the point of the allegory. When you cut back in this fruit context, you get more. Now, all of us pray, Father, make me fruitful above my peers. Okay, now hold on now. There's a lovely knife that's coming out of a block. Yes, baby. And it's coming to prune. When you're all stretched out, bearing fruit confidently in the Lord. And you go, what the heck? hold on. Why did he cut there? Why there? We're always asking, why cut there? There's a superintending hand of love on that knife. Don't worry about it. Abide, abide, abide. Just trust him. Look, we've come this far. Just trust him the rest of the way. See, the devil will come in and say, well, you something taken away from you again, and everything you have get taken away from you. Just, you know what? Shut up, devil. He's a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. Just say, shut up, devil. He doesn't know what's going on. God says your friendships are being strengthened. Your relationships are going to be strong. Recession will occur. That's the way of the kingdom. And you're gonna bear fruit. Third R, reinvigoration. Jesus says, after being cut back a little bit, you are going to see a resurgence and a reinvigoration of fruit. All of a sudden, people that haven't seen you in a while are gonna come back, and there's gonna be this vine laden with fruit. And that's the goal of the husbandman. He wants fruit. He doesn't just want your gorgeous leaves. Isn't that a fantastic presentation? I can't believe those leaves and the shade they provide. God's not interested in leaves and shade. He's interested in fruit. So don't worry about everybody else good-looking leaves and shade. Leaves and shade are really good-looking people that look like they have it all together. Praise the Lord. You know, you pray one way with $100,000 in the bank. Praise Jesus. Then you do $100,000 in debt. Yeah, Jesus, God help me. Oh, God, I'm in a bad job. Come on. I've been privileged to meet some people that pray. You can always tell when they have $100,000 in the bank. No problem. Everything's good. Throw them out of a light plane. That's what I want to get. I want not 20 hours of the prayer seminar. I want when you're so crazy praying, they're just... Are they talking in tongues? No, that's not tongues. That's just... You know when you're desperate? That's who you want praying for you. That's who I want praying. If you come spit on me, that's all right. Think a special needs prayer session. Well, I'll call it. I'll chair that one. See? Some people too cool. How can I pray for you? Well, you can go choke on your money and die. Thank God I didn't say that. Oh, I did. When your heart is broken and you've gone through a cutback and you're waiting for a resurgence and God promised you fruit, but the fruit isn't there yet, you want the right people praying for you. Amen. That have been there, done that, made the t-shirt factory. God has had to save them, redeem them. I only trust broken vessels. Broken vessels are leaky vessels. Never trust anyone without a limp. Never. Never. When you're going to have them lay hands on you and sha-ta-ta-pa-pa-pa, just make sure there's a limp somewhere that they're not trying to hide. They're leading with their limp, like Jacob. Trust people to pray for you that are leading with their limp. So relationship is important. Recession will happen, but resurgence is guaranteed. God says you're going to have fruit. I promise you, your vines are going to be, your problem's going to be so much heavy fruit hanging from your life that you're going to complain about that. All that's fruit. I'm sagging. Look, my tattoos are sagging. My God, don't trust me. You'll complain about the fruit, too. Rich people have therapists, too. You just don't understand. I should have been a therapist. Wow. How did that make you feel? Really? No. I'm sorry. How terrible for you. $575,000,000 from the Gates family. I'll be his counselor. Relationship, recession, resurgence, it's on the way. But here's the fourth R, remain. Jesus said, my goal is that, Father's goal is that you have fruit that remain. Now, many of us in this room have been up and down and up and down. Remember the story of Joseph? He went from the promise to the pot, to the pit. He went to the pot too. When I preach it, I leave the pot in. None of these other preachers telling you the truth. He went from the promise to the pot, to the pit, to Potiphar's house, to prison. Up and down. You see, Joseph was on the mountaintop in the valley, on the mountaintop in the valley, on the mountaintop in the valley. Some of you have felt like, Craig, I'm on the mountaintop of the valley, mountaintop of the valley, drama mama. Huh? Everything's always up or down or up or down. Jesus said there's a time when that's going to end. Joseph finally got put up and he stayed up. I'm telling some people, there's some people who have been up and down, but you know what? God's gonna put you up, and he's gonna leave you up, and you're gonna stay up. Thank God that fruit is gonna remain. You're not gonna be, don't listen to the devil. He says, oh, you're always gonna be up and down like a yo-yo, as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Jesus says the fruit you are going to bear in this new resurgence is going to remain. God is about to bring some people to a, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I have for you, saith the Lord, thoughts of good only and not of evil, to bring you to a sure and complete conclusion, a safe and stable harbor to bring you from down to up and keep you up. And your Joseph never went down again, by the way. Did you know that in his story? He never went down again. No more of this. There's a time when God says, look, I know I've exercised your muscles running up and then falling down. You know, he'll run you up the mountain and get your calves, I guess, ready, and then he'll roll you down some cactus. You know what I mean? Oh, ow, oh, do you know they used to do that? Guys steal horses, strip them naked and roll them down a hill of cactus? God, oh, my Lord, have mercy. Unthink that. But that's what you feel like. You go, amen, pastor. Word of knowledge kicking in. See, up and down, up and down. Always associated with pain. And, you know, but God's going to bring you up and keep you up. And finally, the fruit he brings to you is going to remain. And it's going to be up forever. It's going to be, oh, my God, finally. You see, he's calling you a friend. It's the most intimate thing he could do. What a paradigm shift. I'm not going to keep you out of the loop. Like an adult parent with an adult child, I'm not going to explain some secrets and some things I couldn't explain to you before. Keep your heart open. It's better to be called a friend of God than anything else by this world. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you will guard our relationships, that even in recession, you will cut us back, but you will not cut us off. We thank you, Lord, that there will be a resurgence of much fruit, but the fruit will remain. Thank you for the season of our life, and the best of our life is the rest of our life. I pray for your people, Lord, that they would take heart and hope in the fact that they are not just pretty leaves, but they are fruit-bearing servants. We thank you for the fruit that has come even out of the difficult seasons of life. We thank you for those that are still alive and no one knows what it took for them to even get out of bed this morning, but they're bearing fruit for your kingdom. Lord, there are people here under the sound of my voice said, I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm going to go worship. I need to hear from God. And thank you, Lord, they're bearing fruit too. And Lord, even if our fruit looks like little nubby, bitter fruit, even if it looks like there's just one piece of fruit, we just thank you, Lord, that it's meaningful to you. So continue, Lord, in our relationships. Continue in the recession. Go ahead and thank God you're not cutting us off, but you're cutting us back. Bring that resurgence of fruit so heavy in our lives that we will be so evidently blessed that the fruit will grow over the wall and feed others, but it will remain. We bless you for this word, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.